What does it mean to move from a consumer to an ambassador? What does it mean to be a consumer? Where do we see that in the Bible? And what does it mean to be an ambassador? Is this something just for the church, or is there a greater implication for our whole lives to be living? Well, welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. Here we want to have conversations to help the church engage better with God, His Word, and the culture around us. And joining me today is Pastor Rob, striving to be holy, Goddard.
Ambassador Rob Goddard.
Ambassador. Yeah. Okay, that's
I love how when you did that introduction, you can go back and listen to it if you want as you're listening. You're very particular, and then you speed it up for the part you always do. You're getting very good at that. Yeah. I don't know what number this is for us, but a number. Then you slow down again. I think this conversation is one of the most important for the Canadian church, because we are so trained to be ambassadors in the church, and then we reject that because the world so trains us to be consumers.
Yes.
So I love this question.
Totally.
We use these words a lot at Cloverdale Baptist Church. Probably pretty good that we do a podcast like this. So I am very thankful that you decided this was a good way to go in this podcast.
Totally. That is why we want to have this conversation. Our awesome pastor here, Rob, there's often things that phrases that we can say that and Rob can come up with that they're from the Bible. They're not just things he's thought of, but they're these ways that he's trying to communicate things. And so this is one of them. We want to move from being a consumer to an ambassador. But if you don't know what that means, it can just seem like a thing he's thrown out there, or that he just uses to
a fun phrase.
Yeah, but there's actually a really deep truth to this, in a way that we want to be living. So we want to explore that today, so that when he says that in a sermon or in a podcast, or maybe you're just talking with him after the service, you know what he means by that, and it changes the way that you are living. And so if we're talking about moving from being a consumer to an ambassador, how would you define being a consumer?
Well, I think for most of us, we would understand at least generically what this means. A consumer is always asking the question, what do I get out of this? So our culture teaches us to think this way. It teaches us to say, how did the restaurant serve me? How did the vacation serve me? How does this product serve me? And we live in an age where social media, we're comparing with others, but we're always the center of that. So ultimately, when we say consumer mindset, we mean I'm the consumer. I'm the one that gets to evaluate. Your job is to make my life easier or better. So ultimately, if I was to define it, at least how we're using it, I'm the one to be served. Life revolves around me, and I want you to serve me. So take this into a church. I come into a church, and instead of asking, how can I glorify Jesus, I say, how did I enjoy the music? Is it my style? Was it my volume? Was it my whatever? How did I enjoy the sermon? Was I fed? Is it a loving church? Did someone love me? What ministries benefit my family? That's how a consumer thinks. And funny enough, none of those questions in the church are inherently wrong or even sinful. We need worship that we can engage in. We need good teaching and fellowship. But the danger comes when receiving, that self-centered receiving, becomes the goal rather than exalting or glorifying Jesus and serving others. I remember we had the worship wars at our church, and it was very fascinating to hear what people would say. And again, some legitimate, some not so. But as people came and said, I just wish we had this kind of music, or I wish we wouldn't sing any words at all sometimes, or I wish it was more a cappella, or I wish there was more hymns or more choruses or louder or quieter or reverent. It was very interesting that almost all of those things were preference-driven, consumer-driven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a consumer looks at themselves and says, what's in it for me? What do I like, and how does this serve me? How do I benefit from this? That would be a consumer.
Right. And so how do you know then if I am just a consumer? Because I think everybody to a degree is a consumer, right? We are showing up to church. There are things that we are consuming, quote unquote, or you know, we're going to have passing thoughts of, oh, the music is this way today. Those are still going to be things that we maybe have flowing through our mind. But how do we know if this is actually a problem in our lives, where it's something that isn't just, you know, it's a thought that goes through it, but actually something where we would identify, hey, you're living much more as a consumer than, as we'll get into, an ambassador?
I really like the question, because sometimes it's okay to ask those questions.
Yeah.
If you're checking out a new church, if you're doing those kind of things, it's okay to ask those questions. And I would even argue if we had the time to do it, which I don't want to do today because I think it's kind of overthinking what we're doing, but we have to receive from God. And in some ways, we are consumers from God. Grace, we receive from God. We receive his love. We experience his love. So, and the church should be a place where those things are alive, and other people should be serving us, and we should be using our gifts to accomplish those things. Where we're talking about it's where that focus on ourselves is on ourselves and not on Christ and not on serving the church. Yeah. So I think the heart is deceptive, and it's a question that we need to ask, where am I being a consumer? Because all of us will struggle with this. We swim in a world that is saturated with self-centeredness. I would even argue we're one of the most narcissistic cultures that's ever been.
Yeah.
Not that that makes us more evil or less evil. The demonic realm attacks in different ways, but we are massively narcissistic. And in that, that self-centeredness dominates how we feel and how we think and how we live. So how do you evaluate your own heart? Let me give you some diagnostic questions. When something changes at the church, do you become critical, or do you ask, how is this exalting Jesus? Mm-hmm. When your preferences aren't quite what you wanted them to be, do you become frustrated? Do you complain to others? If nobody's thanking you or loving you, do you lose motivation to serve Jesus? When you walk into the church, is your first question, I hope someone's here to love me, or is your first question, I wonder who God would have me encourage and love on today? In other words, it's a mindset, an orientation that dominates you. So I would want you to ask some diagnostic questions about your own heart as you come in and let those questions expose what's going on inside of you. Is this a place where I am looking to be served, looking to have someone minister to me, which again, those aren't necessarily wrong.
Yeah.
Or is this a place where I say, hey, God has so ministered to me. God has so filled me. God has made me his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for me to do. Am I anticipating those and looking for those? So am I radically Christ-centered and others oriented? Or does my emotional response, does my gossip or sharing response show that my focus and fixation is on self and not on Jesus and not on the ministry he's called me to do? Do I see myself as someone who should be served, or do I see myself as someone who is bought with a price, so my job is to honor Jesus?
Yeah, I think what you're pointing out there as well is what we see in God's word with being a part of the body, if do we actually view ourselves as a part of the body, or is it, hey, I'm my own person and this is just the church I go to?
Yes.
Or when you, which isn't really even, I think we can't even use that correct terminology if we have a correct view of the church, but if we're saying, hey, this is the church that I am a part of. And so if I'm a part of it, what it looks like is then I'm actually involved.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Ephesians 4:11-16 kind of concept of what church is. It's not a building. It's a family. It's a group of people. It's God's body.
Yeah.
And my function in that body actually matters, not only for me, but for those that I'm serving. Yeah. And if I'm an eye and I'm choosing not to look, but to ask other people to do whatever, then that body will actually suffer. And if you look at verse 16 of Ephesians 4, then we won't be mature as a church. It actually impacts everyone else if you have a consumer mentality and not an ambassador mentality.
Yeah, totally. So we're talking about this moving from being a consumer to an ambassador. Where do we actually see that in the Bible? Because someone might say, well, this is, you know, you're coming up with this, but where is this actually biblically based? Do we see Paul encouraging people like, hey, you should move from this? Why is this something that you've become so passionate about, and why do we see it in the Bible?
So I would say it's all over the Bible. Certainly in the Old Testament, you see that point of you're blessed to be a blessing, Genesis 12, so many other places. So I would say it's very important from a big picture biblical perspective. In fact, you go into Isaiah, it's God's greatness, not man's. It's serving God and bringing God glory, not seeking our own glory. So it is all over the place. But where it shines most brightly is in the New Testament. So Jesus calling people to be his own. If anyone come after me, Luke 9:23, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself. That's saying no to a consumer mentality. Take up his cross. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to serve Jesus, to be with Jesus, and follow me. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to be on mission for him. He calls his disciples to forsake self and to pursue a radical God-centeredness and a life of service.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6, we already mentioned it briefly, but I am bought with a price. I'm not my own. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Yeah. Therefore, I no longer live. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as you look at this call to discipleship, it's a call to forming Christ in us.
Yeah.
It's a call to living a passionate relationship with Jesus that drives and defines us. Maybe the most important passage, and some people go to this passage and go, well, it's probably just talking about Paul. I would argue that it's certainly talking about Paul, but it's an overall vision for all of life. And it's 2 Corinthians 5, so it's actually using the term ambassador, how I want to use it, or representative of Jesus, if you want to do that. But let me read it in its context, because I think it's important. All of those other passages and so many more. To live as Christ, to die as gain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not living for myself, I'm living for Jesus, Philippians 1:21. Yeah. We could, I actually think the entire New Testament pushes us here. But let me give you, I think, the most important one. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, no one from a consumer mindset. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, now here, this is very important, the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This passage is simply teaching we are saved to serve. Yeah. We are saved to represent. We are saved to be ambassadors. Simply put, God is great. This is the story of the Bible. Yeah. The gospel is the good news that we can be reconciled to God, but it doesn't end there. The gospel places us on mission. So to truly understand and experience the love of Christ means that we become those who are saved and sent. And now all of our lives become an overflow of a passion to live to the praise of his glorious grace. And funny enough, as you leave the consumer mentality to the ambassador mentality, to the servant mentality, to life is all about God and his glory, and my task is to be driven and defined by my relationship with him, and now I want to come and represent him everywhere I am, all of the time, that's actually for our greatest good. Yeah. So the consumer is never satisfied. I mean, Proverbs talks about that. So many other places. The consumer is constantly looking for more and longing for more and never finds the perfect place where they'll be okay. Yeah. The one who is consumed in their relationship with God so that they become an ambassador experiences joy and peace and passion and purpose. So as you are crucified with Christ, you actually find your greatest identity. The image of Christ is formed in you, and you become, as that ambassador, the person who experiences the greatest amount of joy, the greatest amount of happiness, the greatest amount of good as you honor Jesus and pursue that.
Totally. And what you're pointing out is the fact that we have not, when Jesus saves us, he doesn't just save us to forgive us from our sins, although that being a huge part, relationship with him, but what works right hand in hand with that is we are forgiven so that we then live for him. That's the big thing.
Brad, you and I have been talking about this a lot just in the context of holiness, but holiness is set apart by God for God.
Yeah.
You're saved from your self-centeredness and your sin, and you're saved to be sanctified. You're saved to now be set apart for God.
Yeah.
And that's what an ambassador is. You're set apart for God.
Yeah. No, that's really good. How else do we understand? So this word ambassador that we've just seen in the text that's used in the Bible, how do we best understand, okay, today if I'm an ambassador, how then do we view ourselves if we're going to church? We've talked about this already, but how should I then be viewing myself if I'm going into the day? It's okay, I'm an ambassador today. What does that mean? How do we even understand that word ambassador?
I think we can understand it culturally first, and then I want to give it a biblical definition. But culturally, it just means we represent another kingdom.
Yeah.
Our authority is not our own. Our message is not our own. Our priority is not our own. We speak on behalf of the whoever sending us.
Yeah.
So if you're an ambassador for Canada to Britain, then you speak on behalf of Canada to Britain. If you're an ambassador of Jesus, I'm going to say that it means more than that. It means you've been saved by grace through faith. That because of that, now you're not your own. So you actually belong. You're not just as an ambassador now representing, but now your entire life becomes one whose citizenship is in heaven. Your king is Jesus, and your life becomes fully and completely devoted to representing him here. So everything changes. That means at work, you represent Jesus. At school, you represent Jesus. On the golf course, if that's possible, you represent Jesus.
Yeah.
Someone cuts you off in traffic, you represent Jesus.
Yeah.
Your neighbor, you represent Jesus. Everything becomes an opportunity to display the beauty of the gospel, the glory of who God is, and the wonder of being his servant. So all of a sudden, your entire life has a purpose, and it's not to serve yourself.
Yeah.
It's to serve the one who is sending you to accomplish his work.
Yeah.
So being an ambassador isn't necessarily doing spectacular things. One of my favorite scholars says that ordinary faithfulness is extraordinary Christianity. I love 1 Peter, the call to holiness in 1 Peter 1, but 1 Peter 2, where it just listen, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're living among non-Christians.
Yeah.
And though they might look at you and say, you're a weird, you're strange, whatever it is, they'll see your good works and glorify God on the day he returns. It's this abstaining from sin. It's living with passion for the glory of God in everything you say and do. So you become one who represents his message, his methods, his everything. So it really starts, if you want to say where does it start, it starts with the gospel. And the gospel has to stay central because otherwise you lose your motivation.
Yeah.
And then there's just this radical devotion to live as Christ and die as gain. Every word I say becomes, I want people to see Jesus in me. When I'm suffering, I want them to see the hope that I have, 1 Peter 3 or James 1 or whatever it is. And then there's this rest. Okay, I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
The one who has called me and filled me with his Holy Spirit and empowered me will accomplish what he desires. So if I was to say, what does it mean to be a Christian ambassador? It means to have a relationship with Jesus by grace through faith, the gospel that drives and defines us. And now we are anticipating with eagerness. I've been saved by grace through faith, and he's made me his work of art. And now he has good works he's prepared in advance for me to do. Now I'm going to passionately pursue those things. Death to self, life to Christ, filled with inexpressible joy in the midst of all that life can bring because he's got this passionate purpose for me. So I think it's one of the most incredible realities of the Canadian church, Cloverdale Baptist Church. When we grasp, it actually changes everything.
Yeah.
So now I've moved from being a consumer, okay, what about me, to being a, wow, how do I glorify Christ in this situation?
Yeah, which I think that's, I mean, you've said death to self, denial of self. I think that's really the key thing here because it's kind of a miserable spot to be in if you are saying, you know, I'm supposed to be living for God, but I'm still the most important person in my life, because then you're really not going to enjoy what God has for you. You know, denial is not an easy thing, right? It's a difficult thing to do, but God actually says, hey, there's a joy in this. Even when Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Like, there's this idea of satisfaction and truly experiencing relationship with God when we do this, when we say no to ourselves, when we get out of our kind of headspace and pit of going, man, I'm the most important person, me, that kind of thing, where we take a step outside of that and we go, oh, I've got a greater purpose and it's not for me today. But if we're stuck there, then we're going to be miserable as Christians.
Brad, and I would even say miserable as humans.
Yeah.
I think it's so important because the world says, focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Become the true you. Whatever. Find your identity and be that.
Yeah.
The flesh says, me, I'm the most important.
Yeah.
The demonic realm says, do anything but serve Jesus.
Yeah.
Any distraction.
Yeah.
And all of those things are, I love Jeremiah 2 on that. You know, you've forsaken me, the one true living God, and dug for yourself cisterns that can't hold water.
Yeah.
So when you're a consumer in the way we're talking about it, you're drinking sand thinking it'll satisfy your thirst. It won't.
Yeah.
But when you go to God, the spring of living water, not only are you satisfied, but then you overflow.
Yeah.
You know, John 6, John 7.
Yeah.
You become one who then is that water for others on behalf of Jesus. So what you said is so important, that the life God gives us is our greatest joy.
Yeah.
And if I was talking to a consumer and trying to motivate them as a consumer, which I would not do, I'd say, listen, you can go to the spring that you think you've dug and drink sand, or you can come to the spring of living water and find true satisfaction.
Yeah.
I think the Bible does have some of those motives. But even more importantly, when you've embraced the gospel, the reality of being saved, bought with a price, now you just say with open hands, I'm all in, I'm his. Now I want my life to reflect the beauty of his grace, his holiness, his glory. And all of life becomes that passionate pursuit. And it humbles us because we fall so short. But it also gives us a healthy perspective in all of life, because now my goal is to build a church, to reach my neighbors, to display the beauty of Jesus as I'm driving and living and working and going to school and all of those things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what you've just pointed out is when we're talking about this, it's not just a church reality, although very much so. And I think we see this played out very clearly in the church. It's a lot easier to see where people's hearts are because of the way they respond to situations in the church. We get to see that more. But there's a greater implication to this than just you know, the way that we are in church, right?
Oh, Brad, I think, and we probably covered this already, but yes. So it's all of life.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
What an amazing privilege. I'm an ambassador for Jesus.
Yeah.
So much more. I'd love to be an ambassador for Canada someday. I love my country. I this is so much more, and God's called every one of us to be his representative. And let me argue, this means as a parent, this means when I parent my children, I'm representing Jesus to them. When I'm discipling younger believers, hurting saints in the church, yes. And by the way, we don't talk about this a lot, but the Bible has so much about the importance of my role as an ambassador in the church, encouraging, loving, serving, all of those things. But it's so much more than that. So my neighbors, how will they know Jesus? Yeah. The answer is they'll see Jesus in me.
Yeah.
My work where I work, which here it's pretty easy, but you get the point. I think all of a sudden my parents, if all of life becomes my passion to display the beauty and wonder of the glory of who God is and the wonder of his gospel. And really it's a fulfillment of Matthew 28 or Acts 1:8 or those sorts of things. We are being those who are making disciples.
Yeah.
And as his representative, I'm empowered by him. So he gets all of the glory.
Yeah.
And I get to serve him, and it's probably the greatest call. No, not probably. It is the greatest call we could ever have. So, yeah, it impacts how we go to church for sure. Mm-hmm. It impacts every area of our lives. It impacts, I think, I do a lot of marriage counseling, as you know, and I think the number one thing that a husband or a wife needs to realize if they want a healthy marriage is that before you are a husband or a wife, you're an ambassador for Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're actually to represent Jesus to the person he's called you to love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think every sphere of life becomes this privileged ambassadorship, resting in him. Like, I want to make it clear that this is a burden for sure, but it's a joyful burden.
Yeah.
Now I see the privilege of showing others the greatness of God, the glory of the gospel in every area of my life, all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And God has strategically placed us where we are to accomplish that. He's given us that sphere of influence. He's placed us in the church. He talks about church body life, each part as he desires. Even more than that, everywhere we go, he actually has a plan for us. It could be as little as encouraging someone on a Sunday morning, as little as mowing your neighbor's lawn or not freaking out when someone cuts you off. I believe that God has strategically placed us where as we represent him faithfully as his ambassadors, he accomplishes his purposes, and we get to be those privileged. And that this is breathtaking when you start to understand it, to impact eternity, to help people in the power of the Spirit and certainly in grace to move from darkness to light, from sinful to saved and sanctified.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine anything better, not just as a pastor, that is an awesome privilege, but as dealing with people who are made in the image of God and we get to represent God too, I can't imagine a greater purpose or a greater joy.
Yeah. And I think you pointed this out well, again, when we talk about this being something that is all of life, because I think there can be times where we can tell ourselves where the bar is. It could even be church. You could be listening to this and you're serving very faithfully at Cloverdale Baptist Church, and we are thankful that you are doing that. But then it could be, you know, that's where you can set the bar and go, I'm being an ambassador for Christ at the church. I'm doing this. I'm not living as a consumer. But then it's, okay, where you, when you go home or how you're living these other ways, and maybe it's out of an, you know, other people can see you serving and you're going, okay, that's great. People are seeing me do that. But, you know, when you're by yourself and it's just you and God, that might be where you're, hey, I'm not really, I'm a consumer here. It's me. It's my time. I get to do what I want now. And so I would also encourage you that this is something when we talk about it being all of life, of us realizing that, okay, it's, you know, we can do really good in areas like church or even in our own personal devotions where we're going, man, I am living for God, but have we actually looked at every corner of our life, which is even convicting for myself where I go, yeah, there's still areas of my life where I can go, man, what would this look like if it's more devoted to God, or if I'm spending more awareness of who God is when I'm doing this thing.
I love that, Brad. Let me just give you two, because my own heart, two kind of encouragements in this. The first is, as you pursue that, and this is just, there's a humility that comes because we know we're not the ambassadors we should be.
Yeah.
Because sometimes our representation is marred by our own flesh, our own sin, our own
selfishness. We're all consumers to some degree.
We all are, and we're trying to be more and more driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus. So just a reminder that your acceptance is not based on how good of an ambassador you are. How good of an ambassador you are will be based on how you understand and experience the gospel. So keep the gospel central. gospel orientation, that whole idea that you've been bought with a price. Paul does this, right? He closes with the righteousness of Jesus that's ours. That's verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, so I should be more clear on these things. So make sure that the grace of God overwhelms you as you pursue this, because if you're like me or Brad, you will find that you fall short and you want so much more. And then you can maybe feel like a failure. And so I would say, instead of feeling like a failure, feel the grace of God, experience the grace of God, and constantly, yes, be willing to repent where you fail as an ambassador, but constantly be willing then to, in the grace of God, experience the delight that he has in you because you are the righteousness of Jesus, right? And then go, and then get up and go again and go hard for it. So I love what you say. It's all of life, all of the time. It's this radical, I've been crucified with Christ, and then a full devotion in the grace of God to pursue that. I love how you put that, and just would encourage, make sure to stay grace-oriented, because otherwise you're going to feel overwhelmed. Yeah. Yeah. And then go in that grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. Keep going hard and keep growing in it. You will never stop growing in this ambassadorship until you die and go to heaven. And then you will stop.
Yeah, totally. Final question is just how can we encourage maybe others that we notice? Maybe they are living as consumers, maybe other people in the church. And this is a question I want to be careful with, because again, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to look at ourselves. It can be very easy to go, oh, that person's not doing that. Oh, that person's just kind of showing up and they're not as involved in the church. It can be easier to point that out and not see our own self. So I want us to do that. But they're also out of a love for that person right now. There may be someone you're thinking of going, man, I would love to be able to walk alongside. They're missing out on the joy that they could be experiencing in not living for themselves and living for God instead. And so how can we approach conversations with those people, encouraging them to live in light of God and be an ambassador instead of a consumer?
Yeah, I love this, because now I'm concerned not only about my own ability to represent, but also the call of the gospel to help others represent. So again, I think so important for us to consider this. First, I'm going to give you four M's, and I've just come up with them now as we've been doing this podcast. Yeah. So if they're not perfect, you can correct them as I go.
Okay.
First one, let's model it.
Yep.
Let's be those with humility that say, I'm an ambassador of Jesus. So even how we represent Jesus to others, always truth with grace, always humble, and always calling people to walk in the broken path that we're walking in to represent Jesus perfect. So model it in front of them. And then my second M, mindful of the gospel. Always remembering that we've been bought with a price. That's where the motive starts. So if the motive is guilt and shame, that will never produce good ambassadors. If the motive is the gospel, we're mindful of the gospel all of the time. That's great. Thirdly, mandate it with the Bible. What I mean by that is remind them of passages like Galatians 2:20, 2 Corinthians 5, Philippians 1:21, Luke 9:23, that some of the ones we've gone over. Make sure that they understand this is actually a biblical call for your life to matter, for your life to be driven and defined by that first love devotion to Jesus. So model with humility, mindful of the gospel orientation, mandate it because the Bible does. So remind them of the passages that make it so important. And then I wasn't sure how to do this one. I celebrate faithfulness. So in other words, when you notice things in their life, so I've said, make others aware.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is celebrate. You got another word for celebrate?
I can't think.
We'll come up with one after this is over. Yeah. But just the idea that sometimes we don't notice things in others because of our own blinders. So start to notice and celebrate when they do this well. Yeah. So if you're trying to produce it in others, you want to show them with humility. You want to call them to the gospel always, because that has to be the motive. You want to show them the word of God because we want to obey the word of God. And then notice in their lives things and celebrate those things. So you notice somebody, he's come to church selfishly for weeks and now is sitting at the table looking to love others.
Yeah.
Notice that and then write them a note or send them some. I try to send out three or four ambassador notes. Now people are going to wonder why they haven't got them. But I try, because we want to notice this and celebrate it, because we want to honor Jesus and rejoice in what the Holy Spirit's doing as we accomplish moving people, our own selves, but also people around us from consumer to ambassador. So four M's, model with humility, be mindful of the gospel always, mandate with scripture, and celebrate faithfulness.
Yes.
That's the fourth M.
Okay. The silent
make
the
others
silent
notice
M.
is what I said, but I like celebrate faithfulness.
Yeah. No, I think that's helpful. And my hope is that you can take something from this, because I think we all can, because we are all not living for God to the degree that we should. And one, the only way to do that is one, what we talked about. It's not through okay, I'm going to listen to this and now I'm going to try harder when I go home to be an ambassador, because you're not going to be able to do that by just willing yourself to. You need to look at what Christ has done for you and go, man, I've been bought with a price, and there is the precious blood of Jesus that my sins have been paid for, and I've been ransomed from this death that I deserve, and now I've been saved to be a child of God and then to live for him. And when I see that and when I go, wow, what an amazing thing God has done for me, my response should then be, man, God, I want to live for you. And so then it's this outflow, where being an ambassador is an outflow of what God has done in your life. And so it's not a thing where I guess I got to learn to be an ambassador. It should come naturally when we reflect on the gospel. Now, we got to do war with sin. We got to do that. But if we start with reflecting on the gospel, I think it will help us move towards being an ambassador.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think gospel has to be the foundation. Mm-hmm. Jerry Bridges does this with discipline and dependence. Let me do it with discipline and the gospel mm-hmm. orientation. If you're flying in an airplane, which wing would you rather lose when you're in the air?
Yeah.
And the answer is neither, I think, because if you lose either, you die.
Yeah, the back wing, maybe?
Yeah, the back wing, maybe. Even
option.
That, I think you're in trouble. We'd have to ask one
I don't
of our
know
pilots.
Planes,
but
yeah,
I don't either, but I think that'd be a bad thing, too.
Yeah.
So in the same way, when we're trying to bring honor and glory to God, it's not discipline alone that will do that. For Bridges' book, Discipline and Dependence, for what you had said, I just want to affirm that. When the gospel reality captures your heart in the fullness of the Spirit, you will be selfless. Mm-hmm. You will be consumed with becoming who God wants you to become. You will be an ambassador. So as you pursue it, make sure that your pursuit is in that gospel orientation. Yeah. That doesn't mean don't discipline yourself. So yeah. I would love for people, when they're walking into the building of the church, go, no, I need to remember I'm an ambassador of Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to try to love other people, not expect to be loved.
Yeah.
And funny enough, as we all do that, this place will become more and more a place where the love of Jesus reigns, and you'll feel that love when you come in. That's, again, mm-hmm. the glory of a gospel pursuit. So I would like you to do both.
Yeah.
I would like you to constantly be experiencing the love of God more richly by being gospel-oriented in all of life, realizing you're bought with a price, and discipline yourself so that when you come and you let's just say, for example, the music's playing and you go, oh, I think this is for the old people, not for me.
Yeah.
An ambassador says, praise God that we get to engage in this kind of worship. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing people, or it's too loud and it's not, I don't know, we haven't had worship wars, but it's just an easy illustration. Oh, isn't it great that our young people get to delight in God in this way? Or maybe the snacks aren't for you, the color of the carpet, whatever. You just become much more reflective on. And I would like to say, that doesn't mean we don't pursue excellence, but we pursue excellence with God in mind, not self in mind.
Yeah.
And that just changes everything. So keep the gospel central and discipline yourself for it. And if you do those two things, oh man, we will be more and more who God wants us to be.
Yeah.
And this is the amazing thing. God wants to use us to accomplish his purposes. So a year from now, if you go, I'm going to make it my passionate pursuit to be an ambassador for Jesus. I'm going to retrain my mind. I'm going to take captive every thought. I'm going to retrain my thinking. I'm going to become more and more gospel oriented and more understanding what this means. I promise you in a year, you'll look back at that year and you'll say, wow, has God ever used me to shape eternity? I also promise you that your lifetime will be more filled with joy and happiness. I don't want that to be your motive, but that's what Jesus says. He'll give you that abundant life.
Yeah.
And it might be filled with pain and confusion, and in this world we'll have trouble, but take heart, he has overcome the world. Yeah. So, I love what you said, gospel orientation and the discipline to make sure that we are those who truly are, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me to be those kind of followers of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Well, that's so true. Thank you, Pastor Rob, for having this conversation, for this being your desire for those of us in the church. And so I pray and hope as you listen to this, that this can have an impact on your own life, on those around you, and that we could be a church devoted to living for God as ambassadors for him. We will see you guys next time.